my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, that's a deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone
on a Friday afternoon. Sorry for the late early start. We're usually at 4 o'clock on the zone on Friday. Today we're at 3, a little bit after 3, but we're going to take you all the way through to 4 o'clock, get you ready on your Friday on a beautiful 70 degree day here in the valley. And if you're a Helena Agri Enterprises LLC grower, the trees are happy. They're singing out there. Well, the sun will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Hey, I got. Don't make me pull out that Winnie the Pooh picture of you.
Oh, here we go.
Because if you want to talk about songs, that reminds me of the Winnie the Pooh picture. But, Nick, I tell you what, if you are, you're just making a funny thing about the song, but I wouldn't sing more if I were you. But, boy, I'll tell you, the weather has changed, even though we have some rain in the forecast next week. 72 degrees on the way over here
today. I can't believe
today. That. Well, it's March. It's almost St. Patrick's Day. I mean, and that's one thing we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a grower, you're not standing in here right now. You're getting some business done out in the field because the weather broke and ground's starting to dry up a little bit. At least being able to get you out in the field and taking care of some of the things that you have been kept from the last few months anyway. So, sprays.
So you're saying you can get the tractors in the fields now?
I think for the most part, depending on where you are, if you're on the coast, you might struggle a bit. But around here, you're able to get into a lot of majority, especially on the east side of the valley and some of that west side ground. You might still struggle to do that. But, yeah, definitely a lot different than what we talked about last week. So I'm sure the growers are out there getting stuff going, and we'll start getting trucking along here pretty quick. Agriculture never stops, but did stop for a little while, and now it's trucking right along, my friend.
And we're going to – our magic – color today is green.
Why
of course,
is that?
Well, of course, the green for the trees. We want green leaves. We want all everything green. And, of course, St. Patrick's Day weekend, Fieldhouse is the place to go. Friday, Saturday, and, of course, Sunday. What do we got going on Sunday, Nickster?
Well, I don't know where you're going to be, but I'm going to be sitting right in here.
I'm going to be having that photo booth going on right here. That's what we're going to be on Sunday.
So if you didn't know this already from other advertisements or maybe word of mouth, I talked to Jen. The manager.
By the
here,
way, Jen runs the show, you know.
Jen runs the show here. We all know who runs the show. But she was nice enough to give us a good breakdown of what their plans are here at the Fieldhouse. And that's where we're located right now, live.
Where are we? Copper and?
Maple.
Okay.
Just make sure. We got a lot going on here for Sunday. So just to kind of give you some bullet points, we got 50-cent green beer from 8 to 11. We got a $1 green beer from 11 to 10 p.m. Karaoke, right up your alley on what you were just talking about a few
feelings.
Minutes ago. There you go.
Nothing more
3 to
than
6 p.m. Best Dressed Leprechaun, which is you year-round. Contest, 6:30 p.m. Dress up like a leprechaun, Nick. So kind of similar if you've ever seen Nick before. Kind of dress up like him, and I'm sure you'll win. But the winner actually gets $100 gift cards. That's not too bad.
So you got to dress up. You got to be short. What do we got?
I don't want to put that out there, but that's kind of the image that you get from a leprechaun. But I would assume that they're gonna put a tall leprechaun and maybe a short leprechaun, and they'll give out. They'll be unbiased.
You know, it'll be a really good leprechaun is our own Louis Brosi.
Louis Brosi would be a wonderful leprechaun. He wouldn't have to dress up.
Yeah.
That's really good. They're actually going to have a photo booth here, Nick, from 5 to 10 p.m. and that's free. So if you come in, you're having fun with your friends, your family, you can take a picture of the family and your friends and have that to remember the your night here at the Fieldhouse. But live band coming in from 7 to 10 p.m. So a lot going on here at the Fieldhouse.
We'll Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's a great day, by the way, because people are always looking for a fun day because that's Sunday.
Sunday is fun day. And, of course, Friday is fun day as well. And you can come over here and hang out with us here at the Fieldhouse. You know, we've been – you and I weren't on this show for, three, 4 months, and it just went right down to tubers. But we're bringing it right back up, back to the number one show on Friday afternoons. So we appreciate you hanging around with us. We're going to be talking today, Ron Scott, at about 4 o'clock. Ron Scott, the legendary baseball coach for the Fresno City Rams. They got a big one tomorrow at 1 o'clock at John Mules Park as they take on the Reed League Tigers. We're also going to talk with Mike Brink. We're going to talk umpiring, Nick. We're going to talk refereeing about parents and coaches and what the new world of umpiring anymore. Because I think they're always trying to look for umpires, and what is a good umpire take? And I always believe common sense to start. Maybe been a former athlete to get the idea, but we're going to talk to Mike Brink today about that.
I think a teacher should be every umpire, referees. School teachers probably would fit that role perfectly because they're pretty calm for the most part, and they deal with kids all day long.
But do they want to do it after 3 to 5 o'clock?
I'm just saying that type of person, and I love teachers. They do a wonderful job, and that's why I'm complimenting them to be able to handle, withstand the environment of a basketball or a football or, well, any sport at all, Nick. You got to think about it. Every sport is getting out of control. Look at tennis. That's even out of control.
Yeah, tennis. But I think I know so many umpires that come from so many different the working field, and it's a great way to make extra money. If you're a student, if you're going to school and you want to make some gas money, you can make some really good money. And we're going to talk to Mike Brink on the latest, because we do know that parents, coaching, it's making it tougher and tougher for officials. And without officials, we don't really have a show, okay, because we're not talking A against B and who's going to win, because, you know, the best umpires, Nick, and the best referees are unheard of. We don't even talk about it. We don't even say they had a great game. It's always the 3 or 4 maybe bad calls that we talk about, right?
Like the one at the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Rams in the NFL. What is that? Was that the NFC title game?
Yeah. That's different. Everything's video.
That guy's famous for the rest of his life for making a bad call, but nobody ever compliments him on making a good call.
Yeah, he'll go down
but
forever.
But see, a good call is what you expect, right? So you don't need a pat on the back, but that's what's required. You make those good calls. You make a bad call, hey, you didn't do your job. So that's good people.
So it's almost like a Helena Agri Enterprises LLC salesman. If they're not getting phone calls from the growers, everything's super. They're in love. When they start getting those calls, they're not happy, right? Is that how it works?
But they got to make those calls initially.
Okay. Well, you got to get in the door.
There you go.
Right. Well, we had a big – I want to talk because Nick Anderson, of course, is a former player. You got kids who played basketball. But we've got the big story this week of the Varsity Blues. It came down as we're finding out that Hollywood stars and – this thing has just hit the surface, by the way. You're going to see more stars and kids involved with maybe getting into school, maybe fixing grades. You're going to see the professional high schools now. Maybe that coach is in trouble, maybe giving grade. What was your thoughts when you first heard this story?
I kind of chuckled a little bit, and I said, it's about time. I think you're going to – I mean, I think the FBI and anyone else who's investigating – these things, I feel like they're probably, this is the first you're going to see of many different situations that pop up in the next few months. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to surface here soon. And some of them are going to be people you don't know anything about. And a lot of them are going to be people you know very well. So I think there'd be some worrisome people that are out there right now getting ready to wonder whether or not they're going to be called tonight, tomorrow morning, or picked up, or however you want to do it. But I think it's great. I think you get rid of all these pukes that are out there. I think there's plenty of trash out there. Open it up. Let's get sports back to where it really was when you earn things rather than were given things. A lot of people are given things in today's world, Nick.
And does money talk? And we talk many, many times. It's about money.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about winning. and everybody wants to win, and everyone wants money. So if I'm a, let's say I'm a lacrosse coach, and I see my football coach, who is the big guy on campus, who's making, let's say, $1 million a year. And here I am, a little lacrosse coach, just making, I don't know, I don't even know what lacrosse coaches make. But he gets that call, and, hey, I can give you some lot of money if you get this guy or this girl in the school, but, you know, you can't tell anybody, but can you help me out on this? And he's starting to think, well, why not? How come I can't get paid? And so that's how it starts. You got to smooth the coach to get into the school or get in on the team, and it just trickles down. So whose fault is it? Is it the student, the parents, the coach, or the people giving the money?
I think some of the institutions that are being looked at are kind of surprising as well. I would think some of those. I think Stanford's coach, wasn't it a Stanford coach that they were investigating too? I can't remember what sport it was, if I'm not mistaken. It was Stanford that was also on that list.
There was a lacrosse. There was I can't remember what the Stanford was, but it was a – I'm not sure. It might be 10. I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah, but more than I ever expected. And like I said, I think it's I talked about it with my family the other night. We spent a few minutes on it and chucking a little bit about listening to – well, I'm sorry. Let's just talk about Hollywood. You want to talk about Hollywood a little bit? I don't watch movies anymore. I don't go to movies. I refuse to pay to go to movies. And if it happens to be on TV, I might look at it, but it depends on who the actors are. I don't watch the Emmys. I don't watch any of that stuff anymore because I think the people that are involved are ridiculous.
Hypocrites,
and they
right?
all cheat. Absolutely, yeah. They cheat. But they always want to point fingers at everybody else. So that's just my view on things, not to get too political on all of it. But more, I'm glad it's happening, and I'm glad they're exposing some of these folks because those are the kind of folks that seem to always want to put down athletes and that why do you get a free ride? Why do you get this? Well, there's plenty of athletes out there that work very, very hard, and they get in the right way, and that's through their efforts on the field, in court, or whatever the pool, whatever event they're on. So I always sat back and listened to some of these folks ask athletes, why do you get preferential treatment? Why do you get priority on classes, things like that? Well, if you're a legitimate athlete and you're working hard there and you're going to practice every day and you get up at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning, go to practice, and then you go to class for a few hours, and then you go back to practice in the afternoon, and you try to study for that exam for the next day. I just kind of throw it out there. You try it and see how it works. That's why you get priority.
Yeah, well, being a student-athlete, keeping your grades up is a full-time job anymore because you're getting up. So you high school people, and you're going to want to play in the next level, and you think you got it tough now in high school. Let me just tell you, once they get you, once you sign on that dotted line, the work really starts. Because you're weight training in the morning, you're practicing, you're going to school, you got night classes, you might have study hall. And you know, Megan and Emily went through it, are going through it now. Emily did, but I'm saying Megan's still going. But and I see some of the kids, you know, hey, they're 4.0, whatever they got, and they're chemistry majors, and they see the basketball team walk through, come on. They're also making money for the camp, for the school. And so there's two ways to look at everything.
But most people are blindfolded for the most of the stuff that actually they don't want to know about that over there. They're just looking at, hey, how come I can't be that athlete or I can't do this? And if they were the athlete, they would think differently about, you know, accusing people of certain things. So you got to go through it yourself. There's plenty of people out there that, you know, advocate for athletes, but a lot of them haven't had the experience to really even talk about it much. But it's funny how people all of a sudden are experts about things, but they've never experienced it themselves. I've always asked that question to several people that have come up to me and said, hey, what about this, what about that? I said, what makes you that expert? Have you done this before? No, I haven't. Well, then why do you assume? It's like having a marriage counselor that's never been married before tell you what you're supposed to do to keep your marriage going. How does that work, Nick?
Yeah, well, it's just like umpiring. I go to so many baseball games, and Pag Meter has his rankings out, and I got a lot of people in the St. Louis area not happy that I have St. Louis, the Tigers, number two, Buchanan, number one. But at the end of the year, I bet you my rankings at the end when it comes out, I'm about 90-something percent pretty dang close to what it's going to be. But, yeah, we could talk, but officially I'm sitting in the – I go to a lot of baseball games, and a lot of moms, come on up, get in position. You're not in position to make that call. Well, I asked, well, what position should he be in? Well, I don't know, but he wasn't looking. You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, we've had this conversation multiple times. I've been in the stands before and kind of be bewildered about some of the things that you hear and accusing parents, accusing referees, and then also telling players where to go on the court when they're they're running a completely different offense on where they want them to go and where they actually should go. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's just what we're up against. And it goes back to what you're saying about referees as well. I mean, those guys have a tough job out there. I mean, it's not easy to be a referee and to play in front of a crowd, especially with people that have no idea what they're talking about, telling you what you did wrong. That's got to be tough, and I always give credit to the referees. And even though I've had my fair share of I don't want to call it arguments, but I've had my fair share of comments towards referees over the years. But, of course, when I say it, Nick, it's right, right?
You're not even close, usually. And this is why you sit in the after, way in the upper deck somewhere. We, you know, you can't be close to this court. Now, the other story is, of course, let's say I am Al Pacino. You know, and I have a nephew who might want to get in. But, you know, that school over there really needs a new gymnasium or a new locker room, and I can donate money to them. You know schools are looking at that. And if I can get little Johnny a little help to get in, what's the problem?
Well, I don't know. What does help mean? Does help mean because he's got a 2.0? Or does help mean he's not good enough to be on the team, but he's going to be on the team as a walk-on or whatever?
Well,
status?
I'm talking away from sports now. Let's say it's just he wants to get into school. Chester University. He can't get into Chester University. He's tried. But Al Pacino wants to meet with the president of the university. What do you guys need? Well, we're trying to build a whole new weight room and a locker room and for the kid. You know, we can help promote our sports program. We just don't have it. What's it going to take? Well, we just got a budget of $3.6 million. Here, I'll write you a check right now, but on my half, I need to get little Santino into the school. What's the problem? Is that bad? Just to get one extra guy? I know he's supposed to be taking spots. I keep hearing spots away. So what's the problem?
Spots in what? Enrollment? Just we're talking about just standard enrollment.
So if we have 35,000 kids, can we just have 35,000 one? So I'm just asking, Dick, what do you feel
about that?
Because you know it's been going on since Abe
Lincoln. Well, private schools, it happens. It's probably more relevant than it is to public schools, regardless if it's high schools in case in certain situations. But what do I think about that? I'm kind of lately, a year or two ago, I might have said, well, that's no way. I would never do that. But, you know, anymore, Nick, I mean, that stuff's been going on forever. And so what would be different about it today?
So if it goes away, that's what I'm coming to. If that thing goes away, where's the money going to go to for these kids to get a new locker room and everything else? Because we talked about last week, Fresno State Sports, the attendance of Fur basketball is down. And we could talk about it again. I got some ideas why it's down. But how are we going to get money for schools that maybe need to get those?
Well, I still think schools are getting money from people without having there's a catch to it, you know, whether it be a relative or a friend that they're trying to get admitted. I think there's plenty of donations that go on to schools through alumni and other things that still make that a viable avenue as far as a resource for money, revenue. So I don't know if that'll ever go away. It depends on what school it is. So if you look at schools like Kentucky or Stanford or, you know, that have a pretty good core of alumni that like to come back to the university. I mean, you graduate from Stanford, you're pretty much locked in on life. Most of those guys are successful. I'm sure Stanford gets a slug of money every year from alumni. Kentucky loves basketball. They're going to fuel all their money into the basketball program. So they should never be hurting. No matter what, there's not going to be enough little Johnnies or Bambinos or whatever you call that guy that would come in. So you're talking about a very few amount of those instances that would pop up at those universities. I still think the universities are safe, even with that approach being completely removed. How they do that, I'm not sure how you can control that, though, to keep that. There's always going to be another angle to what it is they're ultimately trying to accomplish there.
When we were driving over here, you know, you're talking about some college coaches that aren't going to be around anymore, and it is about winning, it is about money, it is about raising money, it's about bringing players in, and you just know that some of these coaches got to do whatever to keep their jobs. So what's your thought anymore? Just We see it in high school coaches all the time, how they have the college hours with high school money. College, they got even more pressure now. If I'm going to pay you $1 million a year, you very darn win. And if he doesn't win, what happens?
Well, you got to pay you $1 million and you don't win. There's some schools that only pay their coaches, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, $250,000 or whatever it happens to be on some of that lower level Division One, and even those guys get fired, Nick. I mean, let's, for example, Cal Poly just recently severed ties with their 10-year, I think it was Joe Calera, was 10 years at Cal Poly. You know, it was no secret what Joe made over there. That's a division, a lower division, mid-major type of a school. You know, that's tough for those guys to pay that out because they don't have as much revenue coming in from, you know.
They're not making any money, usually.
What am I thinking about? You know, whether it be alumni or just ticket sales in general.
Yeah,
ticket sales in general, where Kentucky is going to put, 15,000 people in the stands every game, no matter if they play against. They're paying Cal Poly to come show up,
yeah,
right? Those
right.
are the, those schools. So they've got plenty of that going on. So they've got to keep that machine oiled. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are all good questions on moving forward on how you're able to support those kind of things. But some schools don't care about winning as much as others either.
Well, and I think for Fresno State, I think it's about getting people in the seats before winning. But around here, we all know.
But they are winning.
I know. They're doing a great job. And I'll tell you what, Fresno State, what do they got? Utah State tonight at 8:30?
Yes.
They are on fire right now. They've turned into a three-point shooting machine. And, again, right now, if they're hitting their threes, Nick, they could beat the Lakers. And if they don't hit their threes, they could lose to the chefs and cooks at the Sanger High School. Oops. That's what it is right now. They're on fire right now. They got to continue the hot streak.
Well, I really like their defense, too. The offensive side of the ball is one thing, but they're able to provide a pretty darn good defensive lineup these days. I mean, they're playing a lot of, they're really aggressive. It's better than I've seen them play in the last couple of years. So whatever they're doing with Hutton, I think that Coach Hutt is doing very good. He's got a great staff there. So, yes, he's got to get people in the stands. We've talked about this weekly. Season's over here in terms of Fresno playing at the Save Mart Center, unless there's some kind of an NIT type of approach that could possibly play there again. I'm assuming that might pop up.
Yeah, it could happen.
So that you can't say they're not going to play there again. Hopefully they can win this tournament and move on. But, yes, I mean, you and I have had plenty of discussions on why, and, you know, I've watched Twitter responses to some of the posts that you've had over the last couple of years on that, and people talk about all sorts of fun things about why people don't go. And it's kind of all over the board on what you hear from people. Your big thing is getting, you know, some of the – Red Wave to come back. Well, the Red Wave's gone, so what about their kids? How about the students are probably the biggest disappointment, I'd say, that we haven't been able to encourage them to come to the games, putting them in a situation where they want to be there, you know, put down whatever they're doing on the side and spend a couple of hours at the Save Mart Center, whether it be get them into the – put them in a better spot inside the Save Mart Center. That's popped up before where they can get right up on top of – the game, which is not anything easy to do in the Save Mart Center. If you've been there, those seats that are on both sides of the arena are all pretty well what I would refer to them as red seats almost. And anything that you would do beyond that would either be up in the rafters or in that end zone, which I would call the east side of the Save Mart Center. And that's so far removed from the that thing needs to be right up against the court. You got to have that right up there to get the influence that you would have from a student section that has impact on the game. That's the piece that I think that they need to do. Once you get that kind of environment going, that'll encourage more people to come. But until then, Fresno State's done everything they can to encourage people to attend. Great coach right now, winning basketball games, football, yes, even baseball. You know, you talk about baseball as well. So that's just an ongoing conversation that we've touched on multiple times, almost weekly, to try to come up with ideas to get that fixed.
Well, let's take your number if you want to call the show. I want to hear what you think. 844-940. ESPN is our number. I got some ideas as well. When we come back, we'll talk about it. And we're here at the Fieldhouse. Come on down and hang out with us. We're here until 5 o'clock today, so it's a special 3 to 5 today. We'll be right back at 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone
on a Friday afternoon, on a beautiful Friday here in the Valley. If you're driving around, be slow, be careful out there. We're going to get your weekend ready, set, and go for you.
It's best time of year in the Valley right here, Nick.
And it's, let's just, if it would be like this for the next 3 months, 70 degrees, this would be fantastic. But we all know it's going to go to 74 and then 96 overnight before too long. Rain, you think? The Helena Agri Enterprises LLC weather forecast is?
Yeah, they're calling for a slight chance, I think, next week sometime. But for the most part, these temperatures should continue to rise, and we'll start getting that spring feel. You kick things off. Be here at the Fieldhouse on Sunday for St. Patrick's Day.
People are wearing green already in here, so it's get the green out. If you have green underwear, socks, whatever you got, start putting it on because it's St. Patrick's Day weekend. And if you have a little, like, a little leprechaun at home, bring them in. You might get a prize on Sunday.
$100 gift card for the best-dressed leprechaun. Plus, there's going to be a photo booth here. And you can take pictures with your family or your buddies, or that'll go on throughout the evening. So it probably, those pictures might get a little bit more, well, let's just put it, might a little more unique as the evening goes on. Is that fair to say?
I like it. I like it. But when does it start? High noon on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's, looking at the paperwork here, they've got several things going on throughout the day. But getting in here whenever they open is when you can start getting the green beer I talked about. But 8 to 11 a.m., you have 50-cent green pays, green beer. So you want to get here early, enjoy as many green beers you can for 50 cents, Nick. And for you, man, you could drink a lot of beers for 50 cents, couldn't you?
If you start drinking at 8 in the morning with the 50, I don't know if you're going to make the photo booth tonight.
No, you're probably not. You might need to go home at about 1 or 2, maybe take a slight nap for a bit, then maybe make your way back. But if you're one of those guys that are counting your pennies and you want to get the most out of that 50 cents, come in at 8. Get your green beer, go home. 11 o'clock, they start to rise up into a dollar. So half off, basically, is what that comes down to.
And where are we at again? Maple and?
We're at Maple and Copper, Nick.
Yes.
At the Fieldhouse live.
Fieldhouse. Plenty of TVs to watch the games. We'll have Fresno State on the night as they take on Utah State. Of course, the game before they'll have with Nevada squaring off around 6 or so. So come on in. The Fieldhouse has you covered. We got golf on. It's the place to be to get your weekend ready. We're talking Fresno State. Now, I went last week as Fresno State trounced San Jose State. Got to hang out in your booth. It was a lot of fun.
You liked that, didn't you?
It's really the only way to go. Had the family in, hung out with Jill and Emily and my family. We had a great time. But I just really thought it was senior day. We're going to see a lot more people. We didn't see it.
Well, we tried to push that a little bit because, when you're a senior, it's your last game, potentially. You kind of want to go out in front of a good crowd, and especially on a year like this where we've had a lot of success as a team, I would have thought it'd be a little bit better, too. I think it was probably better this year than it was a year ago. I think that in overall, if you got to look, sometimes you got to look at some of the positives and not just dwell on some of the negatives, but it definitely appeared to be a better crowd than what I remembered a year ago. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but if we had the stats on that, but from what I saw, from where I was with some of the Twitter feeds that you sent out, it appeared to be that way.
Well, sometimes we'll say, hey, get on out there and start supporting. Hey, they're not as good, but come on, they're the kids at our school. Get on out there and the crowd's not going. We have a great sports basketball program going on right now. We have a tremendous baseball program going on right now. I'm loving the softball. Linda Garza going on, all the local girls out there. That place is starting to fill up. Matt and I were talking about it. Why? What do you got to do? The product's great. Well, I think the culture's changed, Nick. I think this valley has changed. We're turning into a soccer society. So the question is for Fresno State to market this new one. We don't have Fresno B anymore. Those days are over. They're done, people. Fresno B is gone. It's a mythical dream that you're going to get that free PR anymore, Nick. So, we have a new reality here. We have a new culture here in the Valley. Maybe, I would love to see what the crowds would be like if Fresno State had a men's soccer. Do you think there'd be what would be bigger, the men's soccer here or Fresno State basketball at Save Mart Center? Tough one, huh?
Well, that's tough because I haven't seen the soccer. Really,
well, we don't have a team. We don't never know.
That's true, but I do know that the Fuego gets a pretty good crowd down at the Grizzlies Park, right?
Packed.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that we'll probably get a pretty good show, especially something new like that that people haven't experienced before, because Fresno seems to like the newness of whatever it is, whether it be a restaurant or a new sport. When the Grizzlies first came to town, for example, I don't know how many years ago that was. I don't even want to think about how many years ago, but I remember being there, and they played at Fresno State, and that was packed. And it was packed for a while. They sold a lot of season tickets, and that's very similar to what happened at the Save Mart Center. They sold a lot of tickets early on in order to get that going, and slowly people stopped going. And it comes down to that. You talked about coaches before and how to attract people, and Fresno likes to kind of hang around. You know, like when we had Tarkanian, you know, that was a totally different era for us here. That just all of a sudden, it just went crazy. Everybody was amped up on Fresno State.
So let me ask you, if Jerry Tarkanian was coaching today, what would it be like?
Well, the team would be a little different, I think, and I think people would be at the games because they want to spend more time watching him and his expressions than they do probably the basketball game.
Interesting. That's an interesting take. So Coach Tarkanian, if he was coaching today, would be 10,000 plus at Seymour Center.
Yeah, I think that has to. I mean, I think that goes on. Plus, that coach is going to attract. Just face it. A popular coach is going to probably do a couple things. You're going to go just to watch that person, and second of all, they're probably going to put a pretty good team on the courts because it all comes down to recruiting. I mean, recruiting is everything, right? It's how you win basketball games. How you go about it. How you get them into schools. Certain schools you're able to be more successful than other schools. It's more challenging to. Even if you put Tarkanian at Cal Poly, you might get a big crowd, but you might not win any basketball games because you couldn't get anybody in. And I'm not saying disrespect in the schools. It's just higher academic schools are more challenged to try to get somebody in. I'd be challenged to get in there. Put it that way. I mean, it's not like I'm saying that anybody can just go there and get in. It's more challenging. So it depends on the venue. It depends on the school. But if you look at all the schools across the country that get, you know, sell out every year, or every year, every game, who are the coaches? Look at Mike Leach. Let's just, for example, Mike Leach at Washington State. High-profile name. Since he's been at Washington State, what's been going on at Washington State, Nick?
A lot of enthusiasm.
A lot of enthusiasm. They've continued to build onto that facility there. I was up there last summer. Great football program up there today, and he's encouraging. It's difficult to recruit kids in Pullman, Washington. If you've been to Pullman, Washington before, it's not much going on there. It's a university. It's kind of a research school in a sense.
It's like Gonzaga.
In the middle of a bunch of fields, you know, dry land crops that are being farmed in the area. So not a lot to do, but they're able to put people in the football. They've got a basketball arena that's beautiful there. That's probably got close to similarities to Save Mart Center, but not maybe as big. And I think they averaged, I don't know, some crazy number. I want to say like 2,200 or something like that, some crazy number that should never come up in any Pac-12 school. But if you look across California, let's just pick on California. Would you say that if you were to go to do a poll and you looked at every university out there, we'll say Division I only, would you think attendance is down, not just in Fresno, but attendance is down everywhere else?
I say it's way down everywhere else. I mean, California, that's what I was going to get to. Thanks for bringing it up. I think California is way down. And I think if you go to the South, you go to the, and it's a religion back there. And they're all up. They're all live and breathe their sports. California is down. It's the new world we live in now. And I think maybe, I don't know what, if I'm a marketing guy for each school, what they need to do to get the new generation in, but they're not coming. California is not coming.
So is it because, okay, so if you're in Kentucky, are you going to the basketball game because you have nothing else to do?
I don't know if it's not nothing else you do because they all have HD TVs. They can all sit in the bars and watch the beautiful 80-inch TVs and have fun. I think it's just bigger to them.
So what if we got rid of all the streaming capabilities, or let's say you had to pay higher money to stream games, Would that encourage more people to go to live games versus sitting back and watching it on their iPad or, you know, feathering it into their flat screen at home via their iPad?
You got to put that in there as well, and that's a great point. And you also look at back in the day when you mentioned Jerry Tarkanian, they televised all the road games. We all watched them on, you know, it would be Channel 26. Wasn't on ESPN back in the day. We'd all watch, and then we couldn't wait to watch them when they come home. So, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be broadcast or televising the home games when there's no one there and get the people to the stadium and just maybe do the road games.
Or blacking out that channel. But you can do that on certain channels, but you can't do that on ESPN. They don't black out ESPN.
Right.
No matter. And I think, and to Fresno State's credit, they played on ESPN, you know, a fair amount of time this year, so it was good to see them. I watched them on ESPN. I got to tell you, I have tickets to Fresno State basketball, and there were some games where I just said, well, it's on ESPN tonight, so I think I'll just stay home and watch it. So I got to admit that that happened to me a couple of times. So getting back to the overall attendance thing in California, so it's not necessarily a Fresno State issue. You brought up, is Fresno State changed? Is there something different about Fresno State that was different than back in the day when we were, you know, flooding in, selling arena and packing the house? Well, okay, if there is, that's fine, but there's something going on everywhere else too. Yeah. So what is that, and what's the future of college sports? How do you get these guys, these people to come? I mean, and again, there's a lot of people that have season tickets but don't use them. Those are the other people that you wonder about. Can they do something with their tickets in order to encourage other people to actually show up instead of sitting in their drawer in their house, and all of a sudden every couple of weeks they go through the stack and say, well, this game's over, this game's over, this game's over, and then they discard those tickets and look at the next game and say, well, I think I'll try to make that one. They don't make that one either. So they buy the tickets, the revenue is there for the school, but let's face it, that's great for the school to keep the season ticket holders moving along. That's nothing to try to encourage the team to be motivated, because you've played sports, Nick. You realize that, you know, playing in front of nobody is one thing, but trying to get yourself motivated when there's nobody there is much more challenging than when you've got a great crowd out there and they're just yelling and screaming like a high school game. We talk about that a lot. How do you get that environment? Well, for one, I think that I like the Save Mart Center. It's a great place to watch concerts and the circus when the circus was in town.
Maybe circus was at Save Mart Center?
I don't know, maybe you're right. Cellin Arena. But Cellin Arena was much closer to the floor, at least the stands are, than what the Save Mart Center has. Save Mart Center kind of pushes back a bit. So it's not like that arena that you feel like, and that's why Duke doesn't do anything. That you think Duke has money? Duke has got all the money they want. They can do whatever they want to do. But they choose to keep their environment the way it is. Why? Because they don't want to get removed from that environment that motivates them. It's tough to play when you play Duke anyway. But when you play them at home with all those crazy guys running around, that's an example of what you need to do in order to get people to come to the games. Make the students the front runners. Make them the front runners. Have them waiting in the line. Look at Gonzaga.
Yeah, they got it going on. I think I said 3 weeks ago or so, I was in Lafayette, Louisiana, driving around. I saw the lights on. I went. It was the ESPN game of the week, mind you, for baseball. It was Lafayette, Louisiana, taking on the Texas Longhorns in baseball. There was 10,000 people, Nick. 10,000 people. I thought this was the College World Series. It was electric. The people were having fun. And I was just looking around going, isn't this amazing? The South lives and breathes their sports. But you saw the old, they had old, like, red wave type people. They had students.
What's old?
Well, just you could tell. They had their... If it was Fresno State, everyone's wearing their red, their hats, everything.
Sure.
But and Texas brought their fans from out of town. It was a rivalry. The place was fun. They're singing the national. I mean, a seventh inning stretch, and everyone's great. We don't have that here. But I think the culture has changed. It is California. So what? How do you market the new California if you're a Fresno State?
Well, I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. If I had it, I mean, we all probably would be talking about it, and Fresno State would know.
Well, let me ask you, the Fresno Grizzlies, they'll have taco night. They'll have changing uniforms for Fresno. They got the best uniform ever on the taco hats and all that. They're catering to the crowd now because they know we have a soccer society. Does Fresno State have to start doing that?
So why? Let me ask you this. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think anything like that at all to encourage people is good. I've explained to you my experience at San Diego State.
Tell us.
Watching a basketball game and their environment there. They packed that place out. It's a great little venue. It holds about 10,000 people. It's right on top of the court. It's a bowl. It's tough to get up and down that. You think Save Mart Center or Bulldog Stadium is tough to get up from the bottom all the way to the top. This place is very similar to that. But they pack it. They've got little taco trucks like you mentioned. They've got barbecue. They've got all sorts of stuff going on in the little walkway that surrounds the stadium. Whether or not that's what's encouraging people there, I don't know the answer to that, but there's a lot of people there. And if you look around at who is there, everything from a good student section, rowdy student section, and a bunch of people that look like to be alumni of some kind, but they're there hanging out in their board shorts and their flip-flops and their tank tops, and they're enjoying every game. And I've been to a few of them now, and every time I've been there, no matter who is playing, they get a pretty good crowd, and men and women both. So there's obviously a following there. What they're doing down there, because I would think everybody always uses the excuse of, well, there's plenty to do in California. Well, there's plenty to do in California, and let me tell you, mister, there's plenty to do in San Diego. By far one of the best cities to hang out and do other things besides watch basketball games. Somehow they get 10,000 people in that arena down there. And you look at the Mountain West schools in general, San Diego State, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if it's truth or not, but I'm going to assume that they probably get, they're right up there in the top two or three in terms of attendance.
So at Fresno State, in your opinion, let's say they went to the big dance two back-to-back years. Let's say they win it this year, they go to the dance, next year they go to the dance. Is that going to draw the crowd? Is that going to get fired up to this?
I don't know. I mean, I would want to say yes. That would be my first answer. But just witnessing what I've witnessed with the football program and winning the Mountain West this year, right, the football program, you went to a few games, and although the attendance is better than it was a year ago.
It's still shaky,
it's
huh?
It's still shaky. It's not like the pounding, you know, everybody's looking for a seat kind of thing. And, God, I don't want to get up because I don't want to have to walk through the crowd to get something to drink. They even brought back beer, which Save Mart Center has beer, so you can get that there. But the football games makes it a little bit harder to get beer because you got to go to a certain area, right? You can't get that beer up on top of that area where you go by the red seats and east side, west side. And those are the days that I remember that place being absolutely packed. We were winning by 40 points a game, too. So that goes back to what your comments were in terms of you winning, do people come? So there's a lot of things you can throw at this thing, and I don't think there's – you can talk about this for 3 hours. I don't think you come up with a solution with it at all, and you're still looking at each other in the face wondering what to do next. But Fresno State's doing their part. I can tell you that right now. They're hiring good coaches.
Yep.
They got a new AD that I think has really good vision. A lot of time going in. I think the recruiting is much better. I think we're getting out there trying to get local kids. We've talked about the local kids deal, to where if we can get some of these kids that are good enough to play at that level, why not try to get them here? Some of them have gone away but have come back as of recent because of the success of the program. So as we continue to build that, maybe other things happen beyond that. That's all we can hope for, is to keep these coaches here and not have them come in and leave. I think a consistent coach building the program to a certain level will also encourage the attendance. So in time, if we can keep all that going and the path is set, then things should improve. That's my opinion.
Well, our old Matty J wants to call in the 4 o'clock hour. He wants to chime in on this discussion as well.
Is that Matty J?
Matty J.
Is that the former USC Trojan?
Yes. He's out at Buchanan. Track season's going on.
And uh-oh.
I think Buchanan might have the greatest track facility in the United States. If there's anything better than that out there, I'd love to know.
Well, that's why the state championships are there, Nick.
We're also going to talk with Ron Scott. The Rams are hot. Fresno City Rams baseball's red hot. We're going to talk to him, and also Mike Brink coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We're here until 5. CG will have a show from Vegas coming on, getting you ready for Utah State, Fresno State tonight at tip-off around, give or take, 8:30. So don't go anywhere. We got a lot to do in the next 4 o'clock hour. Thanks for hanging out at the Fieldhouse. This is the place to be this weekend. the Field House. Thank you to Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. We'll be right back. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on with the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Field House, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with us. We are live right here at the Field House, and it is Leprechaun weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Leprechaun weekend here at the Fieldhouse, starting tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday is the Super Bowl here, starting with Green Bear in the morning, all the way from live band at night, Nick, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, anytime you can pretty much come through here, and when you come through, I mentioned earlier, there's events starting. When I say events, there's some kind of a marketing play from 8 a.m. in the morning until, you know, late at night. Everything from 50-cent beers from 8 to 11, dollar green beers from 11 to 10. You got karaoke, and that goes from 3 to 6 p.m. So there's something throughout the day. So if you get bored and you can't make that early event, you come on over, and there's always something going on. I think you'll get a kick out of it, honestly. So it should be pretty fun.
And I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. Of course, if you're a farmer out there, get a hold of people like Andy Lowe right now.
Oh,
get a
yeah.
hold of the team, because the trees are green. They're singing out there. They want to know, what do I need to do to have great almonds and pistachios come off, right?
Well, that's what. Well, if you're doing that now, you've kind of lost it, because that all should have been done last fall, and maybe some things you pollination, which sometimes you have control over and sometimes you don't, and the weather has to dictate a lot of that, but. Right now, from what you've set in terms of bloom, pollination, things coming forward, you're looking at a solid nutrition program any way you look at it. Right now, with the ground being cold as it is, like we've discussed in previous shows, you want to make sure you have the right products positioned for that first application, ones that will convert over quickly, fast, and get to the root system and absorb through the plant. Right now, those trees are looking for anything they can possibly get to help them get through through bloom and petal fall.
And if you're a grower, you can call 559-261-9030. Give them a call, and they'll direct you to the right people, correct?
I love that. Rochelle will answer the phone at that phone number, and she will ask you where you farm, and she will give you a phone number of a location that best fits your geography.
You know who also likes sun, when it's rain, when it's hot? The legendary coach of the Fresno City Rams, Ron Scott. Coach Ron, how are you today?
Well, I'm well versed in almonds and everything right now, and trees. So that was great listening to all that.
Hey, Coach, I'm surprised you don't have your own block by now. 40 acres, you and Pacheco.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about getting it. We're having green hot dogs and beer out here Saturday when we play Reedy. So,
and I will be there.
How do you make the green hot dog? Can you help me? Is that just a relish on top, or are you actually sticking a needle in there and impregnating it with some green juice?
Well, they're already cooked. We cooked them 2 weeks ago. We've just been leaving them in there, so they're almost green now.
Yeah. If you leave them outside of the refrigerator, they'll still turn green.
Why doesn't that answer surprise me? Why doesn't it surprise me that he came up with that wonderful
response? But you know what? Ron Scott and the Rams, they have the best hot dogs, and that's why I go over there to eat, watch great baseball. But your snack bar is awesome.
Yeah, we don't make any money, but you're right, it's good. You know, Eric, he just wants everyone to be happy, so that's what he does. So we want people to come watch baseball and not get gouged there at the concession stand.
Come on out and say hi to the Pag Meter tomorrow. I'll be there at 1 o'clock. Reed Lee is in town. Big win yesterday. You guys are hot right now. You're playing good ball, but I love about the Rams, great local players you have out there.
Yeah, they're almost all local, and we've done that, throughout my whole career now for 31 years. You know, every once in a while somebody from out of the area pops in, but the teams that are some of our biggest competition has been drawing a lot of people from other states, so we just don't want to go that route. We think this is a great baseball area, and I think people follow us because we're playing the local kids.
Yeah, I mean, why would you go outside the area? It's a matter of being able to attract those kids locally. If the other guys are having to go outside the area, that means they're not able to get those kids to come to their school. So it gives you credit that the kids are staying home, and when they do stay home, they're coming to you, and that says a lot for what you've created there, Coach.
Well, thanks. We really pride ourselves on moving kids on to the next level. So the word gets out that we do a good job at that. So I think that's there's a lot of reasons kids come here, and one of them is that. But we love our program, and, you know, we just love the whole area of baseball.
We're talking with Ron Scott, the legendary coach for the Fresno City Rams baseball. I always have to give you that one tough question, Coach. So let's say, for example, Robert De Niro calls you. He's got a check for $3 million, but he wants his nephew to play right field. Go! How do you handle that one?
Well, he has to. First thing I need to find out if he wants to bat first, second, or third. You know, if he wants to pitch.
I love it.
That's a lot of money. $3 million.
What was your thoughts when you saw that Varsity Blues story come out with the Hollywood Stars now and, you know, USC and all these schools? What were your first thoughts?
Obviously I'm disappointed, but, you know, I never even considered that stuff was going on. And it's unfortunate. I mean, it really is unfortunate that money, you know, buys power or whatever. But, a lot of stuff you read in the paper is not true. I don't know really what to say about it other than, you know, it's disappointing that that was going on, probably costing kids that really deserve to go to those schools not going.
So, Coach, you think that's just the start of this thing? You think there's going to be a lot more that's going to surface here in the short amount of time?
Probably.
I'm thinking this, yeah.
I think so, but I also think that, you know, the big basketball thing that got Patino, I thought that was going to spread a lot more than it did. Maybe it will eventually, but everybody said this is going to be a big deal, and Patino won't be the only one that went down, but it seems like he is the only one that went down. And if the FBI's been really watching this, then maybe they've got the bulk of who was doing it wrong.
And yeah, maybe timing is everything, too. If they were to maybe take care of everything they know today, it might completely ruin basketball for 1 year. So maybe they're going to try. I hate to say they're waiting, but something in the back of my head says you're right. There are more to come, but they're going to try to do it as best, the timing as best possible, to maybe try to keep the sport and the institution alive a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, and I'm also disappointed that, you know, none of these big farmers, multimillionaires, didn't, you know, call and offer me, you know, like $100,000 to get, you know, somebody into our PE program or something, because I probably could have got them in, you know, at 100. I can't be bought, but 100 grand is a good opening negotiating tool.
I can't imagine, Coach, back in the day, if my dad would have brought the check out, hey, Coach Noakes, my dad has a check for you. I could just say, hey, tell your dad, get his big fat butt out of our dugout. You're going to have to compete. You know, I mean, it's just how it was. I mean, people, you read about this stuff, and I just don't even know what to tell you. It is going to get worse.
Yeah, it is probably going to get worse. But let's get back to the Rams. I agree.
Yeah, let's get back to Beth.
We had a good game last night. Really scuffled a little bit this year, but we always have a real intense rivalry. And last night it kind of erupted in the, I think, bottom of the sixth inning. They lined one that we thought was like, it hit the fence at like 18 inches, you know, to the left of the foul pole. And the plate umpire signaled fair, and this guy scored to tie the game, and another guy tried to score, and we threw him out. But and they were going crazy, and our left fielder gave up on the ball as soon as it hit the fence foul. And I went up and said, the ball's foul, and, you know, yelled a little bit. And he goes, let me check with the base umpire, and they called it a foul ball. And then you know, the Reebok people went crazy, you know, probably, you know, rightfully so, but they probably didn't see the ball was foul. And the base umpire said, Ron, the ball was foul almost 2 feet. So it was an easy call to overturn. But there was a lot of tension in the ballpark when that happened. And, of course, they always blame us for things like that. It's our fault. You know, we talked the umpires into it or whatever, but we didn't. It was just he made the right call. And that's what
happened. And I love, Coach, and I love you playing a team three straight games like this, because there is going to be tension by the third game.
Well, there'll be a lot of tension tomorrow. You know, COS, we just have a tremendous rivalry, but Reedley, and we have one with Reedley also, and I have to be careful what I say. You know, Steve does a really good job down there coaching and gets those guys rallied up, and he does a good job. I'll just leave it at that, and tomorrow will be a tough game.
Well, we're talking with Ron Scott, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams, one of my all-time favorite, one of the greatest athletes to ever play in the history of the Valley, and I'll say it. Alec Gamboa got the pitch last week, and outstanding. What, he went five innings or so, struck out 10. How's he feeling after that start?
He's a little tender. You know, he went a little longer than he really wanted to, and we wanted him to, but he wanted to get the win, and the umpire missed a 2-2 pitch. He said he was sorry he missed it, but so that made it 3-2, and then we ended up walking that guy, and cost him like 11 more pitches to get out of the inning, and it got him up to 85 pitches. We just wanted him to throw around 75. He's a little tender. I'm not sure he's going to start tomorrow, but he will pitch tomorrow. But we'll bring him along slow. That kid has a great future, and I think professional baseball is a left-handed pitcher. I'm telling you, he was crazy good last week. He struck out 10, like you said, in five innings, but they were an easy 10. You know, he's 91, 92 mile an hour with a we call it a big time curveball. You know, big league curveball. So he's really good.
Yeah, I love his windup. He kind of reminds me of Andy Pettit, the old New York Yankee.
Yeah.
Just nice, slow, smooth windup, and the ball's on you. Tell us about. Let's start with the pitching staff. How are we looking with the arms right now?
Well, Gamboa was a right-hander, and Soberg turned him around, you know, and made him a left-hander.
That's pure coaching right there.
Yeah, that's good coaching. The pitching staff's good. Cole Seamus injured his back last night. He'll be out for maybe a week or two, which is a big loss. That's Billy's son. But we have Eddie Reels from Edison. He's done a real nice job. I think he's 3-1. And Giovanni Saavedra, Jack Rietsma, Nick Falco. Michael Chavez from Clovis North came in last night and pitched, like, I think, five innings of tough baseball because both teams were yelling at each other. Once that foul ball was overturned, it was crazy up to the last three innings. So he did a great job. I think he's 3-0 or 4-0 this year. So and Darren Jansen from Memorial, he's related to Louis Brosi. I'm surprised all that's going on over there at Fieldhouse. Louis seems to be pretty tame guy. I'm surprised he'd have, like, green beers on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, this is a big weekend for Louis because, you know, he is a leprechaun, and this is a big weekend for Louis.
Yeah, we love Louis, but Chet Allison and Ian Ross are tearing it up for us offensively. I think Chet's one of the premier outfielders in the state of California. I know Oklahoma State and Arkansas are looking at him. Ian Ross hit another homer last night. He's hitting 350 and has five homers. Those two guys are, you have to deal with those guys in the first inning. They're really, really good hitters.
Everyone you just mentioned are Pagmeter All-Stars. They're
sure.
I mean, this is what your outstanding people you got coming up, and they're red hot right now. Tell us about the rest. I know you're rolling right now, but what's the rest of the state look like if you get to go that far?
Well, Noakes would be mad if we even talk about anything but tomorrow's game. But
all right, let's talk tomorrow.
Well, we have COS. Yeah. You know, Reedley's going to be a tough game tomorrow, but we have Porterville next week, who seems really down right now. But they did beat us last year. They were 0-18, and I think we beat them 18-1 and 17-0. And then in the third game of the series, they beat us. So you have to respect everybody. But COS is off to a great start. They're undefeated in the league. They're beating their stud twice. So we play them in 2 weeks. That'll be a great series. You know, we're hoping Seamus can be back by then. Merced's always good, and but as far as the state goes, we've already played the best teams in the state. You know, Delta, Sac, Mission College, Feather River. We know we fit in with those people, and so we're just trying to go one game at a time and try to get to the you know, the ultimate.
Talk with Ron Scott, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams. Coach, what kind of team we got this year? Is it a team that you got to get the you got to do one of your great speeches before, or they already know what to go? Is it a business-like team?
Semi-business, but like, you know, their pitcher last night, Reedley, struck out one of our guys in a big moment and kind of cussed him out and stared him down, and which is the wrong thing to do to our team. Cause we were winning at that point 4-3, and our kids think it's over. And this guy woke us up, and our guys came flying out off the bench, you know, responding to him. So our kids, they're a feisty group. They want to win every game they play. And, you know, we try to explain to them that this is the most important game of the season, the one we're playing. And you know, the typical cliches that you say, but, you know, we give it a little substance. And, you know, just tell them, hey, this is a big game. You know, we lost Porterville last year, or I told him last night before the game that Reading's going to give us everything we want, and we did, and the baseball game. So, you know, I got in trouble saying this once before, but we could go play a Division I team and give them, you know, give them hell. And they're a lot better than we are, but because it's a baseball game, you have to hit it and you have to catch it, and you have to respect the game.
Well, Coach, best of luck tomorrow. I can't wait to see all you guys out there. Reedley's going to bring a crowd. You'll have a big crowd. It's a great day for baseball, 1 o'clock at John Yule's Ballpark.
Right. I want the hot. I'm looking forward to the hot dogs. The green hot dogs, week old. Maybe a little relish on there, some ranch. Ranch.
Yeah, there's going to be a good price on them. There'll be a good price on the green hot dogs. So. Anyway,
well, Coach, best of luck. Yeah.
I'll
see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Coach.
I'll
see you later.
Ron Scott, one of the best. Let's take a break and. Matt Johnson trying to tile in, but he still doesn't even know the number of this studio.
Yeah, that's Matty, though. I mean, that's just the way he rolls. He just figures to just deal with it and as it comes along. That's just Matt. I'm still trying to figure out whether or not he might be one of those USC guys. Maybe he's part of that whole thing that we're talking about right now.
Oh, he's on the yacht.
Maybe.
Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he won't now. But we're here live at the field house. They're starting to pack up here. It's Leprechaun Night, and we'll be right back on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon here at the Field House, it's Leprechaun weekend. That means St. Patrick's Day, I guess. If you have green on, you got to wear green this weekend. But it starts tonight. We got that Bavarian pretzel, that steroid pretzel. The thing weighs 14 pounds. You ate it all, yeah. But it's very good.
Yeah, but when you look like me, you can eat those kind of things and not feel bad about it.
Oh, did he just say that out loud? Yeah. No, we all know that's a joke. If you see Nick, he's very, very sensitive, very tender man. Let's just throw it out.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah. But I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer right now, the trees are out. They're looking good. Call the pros, 559-261-9030. Get the pros to your fields right now so they can help put money in your pocket.
Yeah, if you don't have a good certified crop advisor or a PCA on your ranch that's writing recommendations, recommending certain products that make sense for what conditions you farm in, you're missing the boat. There's so much new technology that's out there today, and whether or not some of it makes sense for you, there's something out there that might be different than what you're doing today. Take advantage of it. All the new stuff that's out there, a lot of these PCAs are up on top, especially AgriIntelligence, Precision Ag. There's so much technology to help you farm more efficiently today out there, Nick.
So what if one of the growers or your competitors are not doing the job? Because we know you guys are number one. And their tree's way behind. Can you get them back into shape?
Oh, sure. Okay. On a permanent crop, it takes you a little while to get things. Usually soil, if you try to mess with the soil, Nick, it takes a little time, but absolutely.
Okay, good. 559-261-9030 is the number. A guy who needs a lot of help, especially when it comes to his weight training, is Matt Johnson's on the line. Matty J, how are you?
Whoa. You need to reverse that and give me a little bit better introduction before I reach it through the phone and snatch you around your neck.
Okay? It's the former USC Trojan All-American.
I'm out here enjoying the greatest venue, the greatest facilities in all of America. I'm at Veterans Memorial, Buchanan's Track. the Gateway to Track and Field Invitational is going on out here, and what a beautiful day. And like I said, the greatest setting for track and field in all of America right here at Buchanan High School.
Well, Matt, we were talking, I wanted to get your little thoughts. In Fresno State, we're talking about the Red Wave. Is the Red Wave gone? Can we get a new Red Wave in? Or what's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, certainly you can always resurrect and make a new Red Wave, but because of age and demographics and everything else that goes along with it, the old Red Wave that we once knew, there's no new young bodies replacing that group of people that started the Red Wave way back when. I think that the problem we have here is that if you look geographically speaking across America, it's almost like you see a trend towards the red states or the blue states. And in the big picture, the red states are winning out immeasurably when it comes down to supporting high school, college, and events. We still hang in here with high school. We have that mentality where high school is the number one thing, no question, in sports in our valley. But the college scene in the state of California, there's very little support all the way around our entire state. And I think that's really a trend that's developed between the as I said, the red states versus the blue states. The red states being the Texas, the states in the South, they are avid fans for all their sports, both boys and girls in the college level. High school level, I commend what we do here in the Valley. Thanks to Nick Anderson, Nick Papagni, and other people like us that support and continue to push high school. We still pack them in there. But colleges in California, spectators are dead. There's nothing there, and I don't know if it's ever going to come back again.
Well, you know,
he's right.
We talked about that a little bit earlier, Pagmeter and myself, a little bit about the attendance in California. And, you know, we specifically always talk about Fresno State because that's our favorite team here, and we were always focused on coming up with ideas and things to try to help promote those sports. We've done our job in terms of coaching. I've got a couple great coaches, actually more than a couple. We've got great coaches all the way across the board. Sometimes we don't talk about those sports as much, but if you look at the amount of coaches that Fresno State's brought in the last two or three years, they've done a great job with the new athletic director there. Things are moving forward. But what we were talking about earlier, Matt, is we focus so much on Fresno State that if you look beyond Fresno State, which you mentioned earlier in terms of California, all the schools, I'm going to go on the limb and say the attendance is down. It's down. I went to even a Stanford football game earlier this year, and, you know, two or three years ago I went to a game there and it was absolutely packed. They redid that stadium up there to kind of make it more compact and small so they didn't have that huge bowl effect to try to get more intensity and people in those games. So I think it holds like maybe 35,000-40,000 people now or something like that. I can't remember what Stanford holds, but a lot smaller than that bowl. But now they're not even filling that up. They're winning games. They're a top 20 program, hit and miss one week to another. And other programs around Cal, for example, basketball, football, it's definitely down across the board. There are a few schools. I mentioned earlier the Knicks, San Diego State. I've been down to a couple of basketball games, and they seem to do a good job filling that bowl that they have down there. It's a great venue. It holds about 10,000 people. The student section is right on top of the court. Those are the things that I think they're doing. You don't have to have some fancy place to play in. You just got to figure out ways how to attract the crowd that's coming in there and that environment that you want to try to gain from that.
Yeah. And I know you guys have discussed it many times and trying to find solutions. And I don't want to be Mr. Doomsday, but I think the solution is, once again, I just think the makeup of the state, of the West, parts of America in general, the demographics do not support like they used to. I think it's absolutely reversible if you did something dramatic, which who could ever afford to do that, like free games for all high school athletes or just free parking. Those things lower your revenue. So it's six of one, half dozen of the other. It's hard to do it. But I think overall, I don't think anyone really needs to panic per se. I think the chance of it ever coming back to a level of, let's say, when Jerry Tarkanian was playing basketball down at Selland Arena, Boyd Grant did his thing. I think those days are not that there's no more red waivers. I think that overall, as we speak, the actual demographics and the actual makeup of the state of California and other liberal states like we have, they don't support those type of sports, basketball being the big one we're talking about a lot lately. It's just not there, and it's not a Fresno State problem. It's a problem throughout America. But when you travel to areas where it's the, I hate to take it political, but the, you know the states I'm talking about, the Bible Belt, you know, the states that are going after these red states we're talking about, they are thriving in their fan base, thriving. So I think there's something to be said that the state of California has become such a diverse culture and everything else. I just don't think that it's ever going to be the same like it was maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. I really don't.
So I asked Nick this question. We're talking with Matt Johnson. If Jerry Tarkanian was coaching today at Fresno State, would it be packed?
It potentially could, because Jerry Tarkanian would attract a level of talent that everyone would be intrigued by. Now,
there you
what
go.
We're doing is what we're doing. It is what it is. You can talk about talented athletes, but the Fresno Bee going bye-bye, the program of Fresno State, let's just use basketball as an example, it's not marketed the same. How could it be? We lost an entire huge circulation of newspaper. We used to give us the lineups, inside stories on each individual athlete. I don't know these players from Fresno State like I knew the players under Jerry Tarkanian. They were talked about like we had a professional franchise here in town. So I think that's a big element is losing the media in the background of what we had a few years ago with the Fresno Bee. I think that really affects that feeling, that sense of community that I know all these ball players. They're in our community. They're local guys. Whatever that is that attracts people to come watch, I think we've lost a huge element of that with the missing of the Fresno Bee.
Yeah, so how do you go about fixing that? How do you, you can't redevelop the Fresno Bee. Do you have Nick? Nick suggests that you do more marketing where you know, you've heard that from him before, where you have a big, you know, bobblehead person, you know, a banner, let's say, of the featured player, and you kind of rotate around. And maybe, I know that Fresno State has done a good job. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, has done a great job with coaches' shows and things like that at strategic establishments in order to try to get more public awareness of what's going on. But the same people attend those weekly, right? So how do you reach on beyond those people that aren't willing to come into town? How do you get out to those rural areas? Well, we've tried that too, but the marketing's got to get beyond that. How do you attract them? How do you follow along? The streaming, the live streaming, the ability to stream the game on your flat screen through your device. I mean, those are so easy to do. Playing on ESPN more, playing on CBS, those kind of things that are going on out there. Those are the things that I also feel are pulling some people, regardless of where the location is, away from actually attending, because they can do the things they'd rather be doing, but at the same time, they can follow the game like they were there.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, to really, everyone's reaching for straws, and there is probably no right answer, but I truly believe that the power always in anything, business, life, and sports, is in the people. If we had a marketing campaign that was centered around one thing, do you want to still have athletics thriving and moving forward at Fresno State, our number one, one of our number one employee-based areas of business in our town, our great university? If you want to still see that, then you either don't support and it goes bye-bye, or you step up and support. I think that the communities need to be challenged a little bit more, that we are in dire straits of losing out on Division I athletics in our town if we don't start getting serious about representing Fresno and letting the world know that there still is a place in California that acts like it's in the middle of Arkansas or Texas. They support with rabid fan base. If we challenge the people with a campaign, a marketing campaign that was throughout our entire Central Valley and up through the middle of the state, pushing for the people, they must come. If they do not, we could lose. Maybe that would jumpstart the fan base into thinking it's that desperate. But if we just continue down this path that everything's okay, we're doing great, come and see. No, we need to start getting ourselves into a little bit more, in my opinion, a panic mode, that we need to stop this talking about going to games and put your money where your mouth is and step up. Because I believe there's enough people in our valley, without any question, that need to be challenged. We need to make the motion to challenge the spectators, the fan base, the communities. You must support. It has to be in media signage and everything else. If not, we risk ourselves, we risk losing Division I type status. If that was placed in front of the public, We saved, we brought wrestling back. We put it to the people, and the people spoke. We brought wrestling back. I think it's that type of deal where we need to get serious about challenge our community to come out and support Bulldog, all athletics, not just basketball, football, all athletics.
Well, I think Matt Johnson's our new marketing guy for Fresno State. Way to go, Matt.
Congratulations. The community can do it.
We're going to hire you. Great resume on the phone. We will see you Thursday on the Rise Show. Great job, and have fun over there if you can. And I want the photos, and have a great night. Thanks for hanging out with us.
It's a brilliant day. Thanks for having me. You guys take care.
All right. Matt Johnson, let's take a break. We're going to catch up with Mike Brink in a few minutes and talk umpiring. Has that changed? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone
on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us here at the Fieldhouse. It is Green Weekend, Leprechaun Day here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, starting tonight. Get on over here. I really recommend the prime rib sandwich.
And if you look like a leprechaun or try to dress up as a leprechaun, you have a chance to win a $100 gift card here live Sunday. So make sure you get your Halloween costume or come by or whatever daily suit that you wear. 8 o'clock, is the doors open at 8 o'clock, Nick, and 8 o'clock.
8 a.m.
8 o'clock, 8 a.m.
Wow. So, and green beer in the morning.
I remember in college there used to be a place that opened up when it was 6 o'clock on St. Patrick's Day. We were down there drinking green screwdrivers before you knew it. But I'll tell you what, that was fun. But 8 o'clock, 50-cent beers, green beers, by the way. So come out and get drunk before, or actually have fun before midday. Yeah, go take a nap and come back.
All emails go to Nick Anderson. But I do want to thank Helen Agra Enterprises, LLC.
In the right way, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. 559-261-9030 is our number. Let's go now. I want to thank Ron Scott, of course, and Matt Johnson. But now we've got Mike Brink on the line. Mikey is, of course, his son is a coach out at Central. They got a big game tonight, Central versus Buchanan. Mike, how are you today?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Well, you know, Mike and Nick Anderson, you have something in common. You know, Mike's son, pitcher Fresno State, got to play in the played some pro ball. Now he's coaching. He's in, maybe you can help Nick as what it's going to look like in the future.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it's quite the ride just to get to college. And, you know, anything above that, as we all know, that the percentages are very small. But it's been a fun ride. He's actually going to go back to spring training in the independent league in Illinois at the end of April, middle to end of April. So going to give it one last shot here at 25 years old, and then if not, he'll step back in that position as pitching coach over at Central. So it's quite the ride, Nick, as you're experiencing with, you know, your kids there at the high school. I was thinking about it before we talked that you guys probably had to get a second safety deposit box for all those rings you're collecting. I don't know another family that's got that many outside of probably the Nevilles and wrestling over at Clovis. So it's quite
point.
Achievement for your family.
How many do you have, Nick? You know, Emily, Megan?
They have 7 rings.
Wow.
And that's been fun. I appreciate that. Yeah, those kids have worked hard. They've been playing for good programs. And, you know, as of recent, Cole, you know, we didn't know what to expect from him because girls would always give him a hard time, right? Oh, you're never going to catch us. You're never going to catch us. And, you know, him just having that one, he said, man, that just took the monkey off my back.
Yeah, he can breathe easier now.
Well, Mike, we're talking Mike Brink. Before we get into the broadcasting part, let's talk about umpiring and refereeing anymore. How much does it change? Because I keep reading that good umpires aren't umping anymore because of the parents. Is this true?
I think it's a part of the equation. I think, you know, back when I started in 93, it was more of a hobby for guys back in the kind of the Rick Saxon and Telio Salazar, Chad McArdle, Scarberry, where you really went in to learn this stuff. And I think just because of the economics of the world, it's becoming a job or a second job to a lot of people, where a lot of times it could be just a paycheck. And, you know, it's just the sign of the times. But I will say this for this year, guys, that we've had less issues this year so far than we've had in the past. And part of it, I think, is just guys getting a little bit more experienced, and you know they're able to handle situations a little bit better. I think I've only seen three ejections come across so far. I might be wrong on that, but I've only heard of three that have happened. So some young kids, I think, they get spooked in not just baseball but just the sports in general, because as Nick Anderson knows there, it's very intense once you walk into a gym or between the lines of a football or baseball or any sport these days, the expectation. And, you know, then we read in the or hear in the media here the last couple of days how rich parents are pushing their kids, you know, with paychecks to become the rowing captain when they've never rowed. So, you know, just the pressure of getting scholarships these days. And I understand, you know, scholarship's great, and it's going to, you know, pay a portion of it. It's not – I think the misnomer is that it's a full ride. There's not too many sports where it is a full ride. Baseball, if you get a 25%, you're lucky. You know, so,
yeah, I don't think people realize that, honestly, Mike. I think that's a great point to bring out. We talk about that from time to time, but everybody thinks that automatically you get a full ride scholarship, regardless if it's Division I. It's not the case with baseball, and you're looking at a good scholarship in baseball is like you mentioned, 20 to 25%.
Yeah, and it's, you know, 11.7 scholarships in baseball for a 34-35 man roster, that doesn't go very far. So, you know, you get quite a few in baseball that are preferred walk-ons that, you know, they're paying their own way. So, you know, the pressure in the stands, the pressure that maybe the parents are putting on coaches, that my kid's got to get a scholarship, or, you know, we're going to jump ship and head on over to the next school and try it there. It's, a lot of that ends up on umpires. You know, my kid would have hit 300 if the umpire didn't strike him out, and those types of things, you know. So, you know, younger kids, I've always said that I think it's the greatest college job for a kid. You can go work a high school game behind the plate and make $71 in 2 hours, or you can go to McDonald's or some other fast food place that a lot of college kids work at, and takes you six and a half hours to make the same amount of money.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, when you tell me a little bit about what you hear from the stands. I mean, Nick and I were talking earlier about, you know, so many fans that just have no idea what they're talking about. So, you know, hey, you struck my kid out. He would have had a 300, and you ruined it for him. But honestly, you hear other things from the stands, whether it be in baseball, basketball. Football, it's a little bit harder to hear from the stands because you're so far removed. To me, that might be a better place to be where you get away from the fans. But basketball, you're right on top of it. And from my experience, you hear people start, you know, yelling and complaining to referees about calls and telling people where to go on the court. And it's amazing how many comments you hear that have no place at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. Hey, that call was this or that call was that. And it was completely opposite of really what they view. So to be an umpire or referee, you got to deal with all that coming from the stands. You almost want to turn around and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. So your thought process on that travel or that offense or this or that is makes no sense whatsoever. I hear so much of that from the stands, so much of it.
Yeah, no, it's 100% accurate there. I mean, as a referee, you're really 50% right 100% of the time, you know, because it's a strike, you get an ooh. It's a ball, you get an oh, you know. And, you know, you screwed my kid, and you did this, and you did that. And it's, you know, always taken like we're doing something against our kid. None of the officials walk in and go, hey, number 10's mine today. I can't wait to strike him out. We don't throw any pitches. We don't, you know, throw any flags. We don't blow any whistles. So it's, you know, the kids that create that. And so, you know, a lot of times these parents, you know, that are way down the line that think that they've got a better angle on a pitch that's an inch off the plate than you, it's kind of hilarious, really. That, you know, none of them, we're always accepting applications, but we don't ever get the guy that's down the line that can see the strike zone better than we can. You know, the guys that put in 20, 30 years in this business, or, you know, have been to black and blue camps in California to make themselves better, and yet that guy can see a pitch that's an inch off the plate, you know, that he wants for a strike down the line. It's humorous.
I've had to really contain myself over the years and actually have become better. A lot of people would never think that that would ever happen to me, but to become better and appreciate referees a little bit more, unless it's really obvious or something. And my experience not being with the baseball side of things, but basketball side of it, the two most common complaints are two things that you hear from the basketball stands complain the most. What are the two calls that you can imagine you hear more than anything else?
In what sport?
Basketball. I just was saying that.
Oh, I wasn't.
Okay,
well,
so
I was thinking baseball.
And probably walking.
Yeah, traveling and one.
And one.
Everything's and one. I just laugh. But
you know, Mike, compared to football, I mean baseball, compared to baseball and basketball, if you're having a bad day at work, let's say you got to go do a 3:30 game and you're having a bad day, you don't have to make a call in basketball. I've seen the other two referees just walk around. One referee's calling 80% of the fouls. Baseball, you have to call a call every pitch. Every pitch has to be a call, one way or the other. Where basketball, I'm just going to run down the court.
Good point.
Relax
good point.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can swallow the whistle. Yeah, baseball, you know, especially the guy behind the plate, and really the guy on the base too, because every pitch is a potential check swing that he's got to be on, because the minute that he's not staring down that line at a check swing from, you know, a lot of times it's 100, 120 feet away, that's when everyone's going to notice that you may be in the drifting because something that may happen at work. But, you know, behind the plate, you've got to get locked in as soon as you put that mask on on that first pitch, because these, you know, you'll hear it from the stands, hey, both ways, and we haven't even gotten into the bottom of the half inning yet, and they're already screaming that they want that call to go both ways. Well, okay, let's try to get through one inning first, and then we'll adjust. You know, a lot of times people don't understand, we have to adjust. There's a lot of different pitchers. One, you know, might be three quarters over the top, good curveball, good slider, good slurve. Everyone's a little bit different. So the way it enters the zone isn't always the same. It's not always the same box because of angles. You know, and so people see that, you know, the height or, you know, a guy that might be a sidearmer and say, oh, that's a strike. You know, well, it has to go over the plate, you know, and a lot of people just don't, they don't get that.
But, you know, Mike, there's a lot of umpires that, hey, you know, I'm going to give that outside corner a call, or, you know, I'm a low pitch umpire, or, you know, I don't call that inside pitch. So everybody's different behind the plate. And the pitcher's got to know sometimes. That's why, you know, watch the Giants on TV, and Kruko will tell you, well, this umpire, he's a low umpire. He's going to give you this. So everyone's different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I consider myself a guy that, you know, you can get the ball that's probably just nicking off the plate, but that ball that's in, and a lot of these high school hitters nowadays, they go 10 toes on the chalk, and so that area to see a pitch on the inner half is really, really difficult when you got a catcher and a shoulder, and if it's a big catcher, now he's taller, you know, you got a kid that's crunched down with two strikes and choking up, and you just don't have a whole lot of area to see it, so you're changing your mechanic to get lower to try to find, you know, an angle that you can try to get it. Well, when you get the inside, then you've now lost the outside because you can't see both. So it's not easy. Like I said, every pitcher is a little bit different. And, you know, the guys in the SJBOA, I can tell you that they do go to camps. They do put in a lot of hours at work in the classroom at Fresno Christian on Mondays. A lot of these different coaches throughout our valley, I think Ron Scott came there last and just talked about, like, what they want to see and what they're okay with, what they're not okay with, and getting their input over the years. Kevin Patrick's been out there. Pat Ware, I think, maybe three years ago, came out. And, you know, when you get that kind of us and them together rather than us against them, it creates kind of like, all right, we understand your job's not easy, and that you're busting it back there to do the best you can. And there's more of appreciation when you do get guys to come out and they'll speak at our meetings and, you know, kind of just tell the guys, hey, we appreciate you. And, yes, these coaches are going to battle to the end to try to win because that's their job, and we get that and understand that. You know, but we never take the field going, oh, boy, I hope Team A beats Team B today. We don't really care about the score. We care about a good, clean played baseball game. You know, like any sport, a good clean game is just fun to watch.
You know, Mike, before we let you,
4 hours and you got seven plays second base that are doubled up because kids just aren't sliding into bags. you know, and we get interference calls, those games seem to drag on forever. So clean, fast-paced game is what anyone really wants in baseball.
Well, Mike, we got to take a break, but before we let you go, you're going to be broadcasting Central versus Buchanan tonight. How do we get that?
Yeah, so you can go on in your app store. You can get Mixlr application. It's M-I-X-L-R. And then my channel is HS Sports Media. It's all internet-based. We've done about 5 games. I worked a game out in Kerman with Jay, former Kerman coach and legend Jay Bruce on Monday. We had a windstorm coming at us about 60 miles an hour, so we were chasing papers, but it was a little rough. But yeah, we're looking forward to doing this and just trying to get the the high school sports out and about as much as we can. So we look forward to it. You can also follow at Track Baseball in that Mixlr application. A picture of it will be there as well.
Mike, keep up the great work. Thanks for it, and hopefully I'll see you tonight.
Okay. Yeah, come up and
you
see
me. You got it. All right, Mike Brink, let's take a break. We'll come up, wrap up the show, get you ready for CG in Vegas on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You
are in the zone.
Welcome back. We're getting ready to get out of here. I want to thank Ron Scott today from the Fresno City Rams. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, the Rams on the Reedley Tigers take square off at 1 o'clock at John Newell's Park. I want to thank Mike Brink, Matt Johnson. St. Paddy's Day is going on, and Nick Anderson from Helen Agri Enterprises, LLC, of course, and the crew. Have a great weekend, a safe St. Paddy's weekend. Thanks to Russ as well. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Rex Hudler will join us next week on next Friday. You'll be here at the Zone, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. Have a great weekend. As Matt says,
get in the game.